People come up to me all the time. Oh, I just know the Bible left and right. I know every word in the Bible. The Pharisees knew the first book of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible, the Pharisees knew.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is Living for Christ and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Living for Christ today, our key verse is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, and I'm reading now the New International Version today. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray, God, that you will open our hearts to receive your word today, to understand your word today, and to come out of this place living your word, God, and applying it not only to others' lives, but to our own life first, God. Let us learn from the Holy Spirit today. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I tell you what, I'm on fire for God. I say this every week, but you know something? God is my best friend. I know you guys thought you were, but Jesus got you beat. But that's okay. You guys are equal in Christ with me, right? Amen? I'm just teasing you. No, but listen, I just love going through the Word of God because there is so much treasures in the Word of God that I almost feel bad. I do feel bad that I wasted so many years not going through what God had to say to me. And I was talking to somebody this morning about that some people just don't want to hear what God has to say because they're enjoying their lifestyle. But they don't realize that when you're ignoring the Word of God, guess what's happening? When you're living for yourself and you're ignoring the Word of God, you are actually losing your life. You're losing it. It may not feel like you're losing your life when you're not living for Jesus, but I'm telling you what, every minute of the day that you refuse to live for Jesus, something is slipping away out of your life. Something is slipping away. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody in this church, especially myself. Okay? So I want to share with you today some principles about living for Christ today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you feel like it. Today, starting today, we are going to start living for Christ. Amen? Can you feel the fire? Can you feel the Holy Spirit in the house? Because I am. I just pray I'm not the only one because God's got something to say. So let's open our ears and open our hearts and listen to this. Number one, to live for Christ is to surrender our lives to him. Surrender. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, surrender. You were bought with a price. It is no longer your life. God got you out of the bondage of sin, and therefore you are his now. Oh, but there's that thing called free will. And if you do not surrender it over to the Lord, guess what? You're going to be living for yourself. And I promise you this, the more you live for yourself, the more you try to hold on to your life, it's going to be like Jell-O. Squeeze Jell-O, it will get right through your fingers. You cannot beat God at his own game. You have got to surrender to Christ to really be living. Okay, number two, in order to surrender to Christ, we must believe in him. You cannot hand yourself over to someone you don't believe in. Amen? If you don't trust somebody, how are you going to hand yourself over to them? How would you want to fall into the hands of a complete stranger? You don't want to fall into the hands of a complete stranger. That's why God reveals himself in his word. So for those of you who are not acquainted with the Lord, it's called the Bible. And inside of this beautiful book, God introduces himself to you. And he's not a fearful God for those who love and obey him. See, some people say, I'm afraid of God because the only thing I know about God is death and destruction. Well, yes, we should fear God. We should fear the Lord. But guess what? He is handing out his hand as an extension of a peace offering through Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so we have to believe in him. But guess what? Number three, belief and surrender require repentance. Oh, now that's a big word because listen, the Bible is very clear that you have to repent, which actually means to turn away from your sins. You have to come to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. That's confession, right? That's still not repentance. Plenty of people tell me what they are. But then you got to come to God and say, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Don't make the mistake that repentance is something that you can achieve all by yourself. And what I mean by that is people say, when I clean up my life, that's when I'll come to church. That's when I'll come to Jesus. You aren't ever going to clean up your life the way Jesus can clean up your life. Repentance means to turn away, means to turn away. So what you need to do is you need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, man, I can't do this on my own and I need your help. Not only am I a sinner, but I'm guilty of enjoying being a sinner. Come on, you know it's true. Some of us love and embrace our sins and we don't want nothing to do with God when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. Well, I ain't going to church. I mean, look what I've been doing. Well, that's when you really should get in the church because you know what? The church is a hospital for the sick. If there was anybody in here perfect, I'd have to call them Jesus. Praise the Lord. Somebody following me out there? Can I get an amen? That was a weak amen. Hallelujah. Belief and surrender require repentance. You have to say to God, I don't want to sin no more. I don't want to do this anymore. Turn away from it. Turn away from it. It's going to kill you if you don't. Either spiritually or physically or both. It's going to get you. So here we go. How are we going to live for Christ today? Principle number one, fix your eyes on Christ today. Fix your eyes. What are you looking at during the week? Are you watching movies you shouldn't be watching? Are you listening to songs you shouldn't be listening to? Songs about parties, songs about sexual activity out of wedlock, movies that depict nudity and sexual activity. We're all adults in here. We know what I'm talking about. Or television shows that depict gossiping amongst people and backstabbing and conniving and hurting one another. Are we watching those things or are we watching Jesus, what he's doing? Last time I looked, Jesus was not in the living room watching the Kardashians. Amen. See, you all know what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where's Jesus sitting? He's sitting up there with God. Amen. Amen. So why wouldn't you want to fix your eyes on that? So listen, who? Our focus in life must be on Jesus. That's the who. It's not your best friend. It's not your family members. Those are all important. But your main focus, you have got to beat in on Jesus Christ. What are you doing, God? Because after all, we follow him. And we can't follow him if we're not fixing our eyes on him. You try to find your way through traffic, you follow the car in front of you that's leading you to where you're going, right? And if you lose track of where that car is going, you could get lost. So we must focus on Jesus. And that's what that scripture said. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. If you're looking at something and you can't imagine Jesus being involved in it, get your eyes off of it. Men, you're looking at women walking down the street because they're jogging in their jogging pants. Turn your eyes. You don't need to be looking at that because we know what you're thinking. Women, same thing now. Come on. You ain't off the hook. Now, why? Why? Why do we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ? Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. When you're fixing your attention on Jesus Christ, he is teaching you faith. Some of you might have thought your faith came from yourself. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that your faith isn't even yours. As you walk and obey the word of God, your faith builds through God. He's the one that builds your faith. If you don't believe me, wait till the next test comes along and see how much your faith starts. Your faith will start growing. And if it don't, you'll go right back through that test again. Amen. The author and perfecter of our faith. God started it and he's going to finish it. He's going to make it perfect. Only God is perfect, so only he can make something perfect. Now the what? Love is our motivation, as it is with Jesus. Listen to this. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. For those of you that don't know, Jesus was stripped naked before he was put on that cross. And he was beaten before that. And he was put up on a cross for all to see. It was shameful because they were spitting on him and calling him every name in the book. And he was innocent. He was innocent. But listen, who for the joy set before him? The joy? If you guys knew anything about crucifixion, which I'm sure some of you do know, our word excruciating comes from the word crucifixion. That's how horrible of a death it is. Excruciating comes from the word crucifixion. There's no joy in that kind of pain. But who or what was the joy? Pleasing the Father was the joy. And redeeming us out of sin was the joy. Here's the thing. When you're praising God, understand that Jesus embraced the cross knowing that he was delivering all of us who accept him as Lord and Savior. He did this to bring you to him. Now, I think this is beautiful because sometimes I don't want anything to do with myself. You ever been so disgusted with yourself you don't even want to look in the mirror? Because you messed up so bad, you hurt somebody. And you just look in the mirror and you say, oh, I don't know what God wants with me, but I'm glad he wants something to do with me. Because I am a sinner. And I am saved by grace. And Jesus had joy in the cross knowing that he was going to bring me to fellowship with him for eternity. And he endured the cross to be with me and to be with every Christian that wants to be with him. Where? And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus achieved everything that the Father required of him. Can any of us say that about ourselves today? That we have achieved everything that God requires of us? Isn't it beautiful that in order to be with God, you got to be perfect? And yet none of us are perfect. So Jesus Christ is the perfecter. Amen? The perfecter of our faith. We are made perfect in Christ. So quit doing your works. Quit trying to please God through what you're doing and start worshiping. Because it's not what you do, it's who you know. And if you know Jesus Christ, you're already perfect in God. Yeah, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to fall, but Jesus will be there to pick you up if you're surrendered to him. If you're surrendered. Amen? Number two, learn from Christ today. We're talking about living for Christ today. Principle number two, learn from Christ today. How many of you know that you don't know it all? One hand, one honest person. Two, okay, we're going to have an auction here in a minute. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You see what we're supposed to be doing? I think we got the formula down pretty good, don't we? We're praising the Lord, we're teaching one another, and we're helping one another, but we have to admonish one another also. Somebody gets out of line in the church, right? You got to rebuke them. If somebody's doing good, you got to lift them up. We're supposed to help one another. Okay, so how do we learn from Christ today? I mentioned this a while ago in the opening. Surrender. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, there's a little word in here, and it's three letters. Can anybody guess what I'm talking about? It's not you. Quit thinking about you. Some of you are like, it's you. Let. Let. L-E-T. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, you have a choice. You could choose not to read your word, and you can also choose not to pay attention to the word once you know it. That's why it says, let the word of Christ. I've said this a million times. You can go to the doctor and he can write you a prescription. But if you don't go home and follow the instructions, guess what happens? You don't get healed the way the doctor intended you to be healed. Now, that may work in the real world. You might get better anyhow. I don't know. Maybe. But with God, you need the word of God in order to be healed. That's one of his conditions, is that he uses his holy word. God spoke and everything became created. Amen. Somebody out there following me? So we have to surrender by letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Okay, but why? Why? As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Listen, where's the wisdom coming from? It's not the world. The wisdom's coming from the word of God that you are richly allowing to dwell inside of you. Woo, is that not powerful revelation right there? You understand the word of God is living and active, and it's teaching you something right now about God. You cannot teach one another. You cannot admonish one another with all wisdom if you don't have the word of God. That's why you need it. That's why you have to let it dwell in you richly. Let it flow from you to be a blessing to others. Thanksgiving. We have to be thankful. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, you got to sit up here and you got to think about all the gratitude you have for God flowing out of you when you praise him. Because you know what? He deserves the praise. There are so many things that God does for every one of us. And you know, the beauty of God is that he doesn't always let you know some of the things that he's doing, because you couldn't keep track of it anyhow. I mean, there are things that God has saved each and every one of us out of. And you know, if you look back on it, you're guilty of something that you should have got caught and punished for. And God gave you grace and let you slide. Just, it don't even have to be a criminal act. It could just be something dumb. You stepped out in the street, and at the last second, you stepped back and a car didn't hit you. I'm just talking as an example here. There are so many things that God does for us. We have to be thankful. But aside from all of those things, if you can't find one thing to praise God for in your life, praise him for Jesus. Because that's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come so that you could have a nice house or a nice car or a fat wallet. He said, the poor you will always have with you. But Jesus came to give himself. Will you partake in the gift of God? He wants you. Thank you, Jesus. That makes me want to say thank you. Number three, we need to lean on Christ today. We need to lean on Christ today. You ever been hurting so bad, your friends can't comfort you? You call up your friends, they don't have the answers. And all you want is someone just to be there that understands, that cares enough that you can just lay it all on them. Not only in times of trouble, but in time of need. Sometimes you don't know which way to turn for a decision. Lean on Christ today. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Faith, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Does it say trust in the world? Trust in your bank account? Trust in your friends? Trust in your family? Trust in the Lord. It didn't say trust in anything else. But trust in the Lord. He is the rock that is unmovable. He is the unchangeable force in your life that will love you even when you can't love yourself. Trust in the Lord. Faith is the first step in leaning on Christ today. Love. Love with all your heart. I'm sorry, did it say some of your heart? It's awful quiet out there. I can hear crickets louder than you. Did it say some of your heart? It says with all of your heart. What does that mean to me? It means that when somebody hates me and I see that person on the side of the road broke down, I stop for them and say, can I help you? They might yell at me, curse me, and chase me away. But it means that I would not want to be stuck on the side of the road, and I want to love my neighbor as I love myself. And if I can help somebody, I'll help them. Even my enemy, if they'll accept it. That doesn't mean you help your enemy hurt you. It means that you love your enemies. And you don't just say, well, I love them anyways. But let me tell you what he did to me. Huh? No, you don't curse your enemies. Because listen, we have to love with all of our hearts. When we don't have love for our enemies, that's going to eat at our heart. Because believe it or not, God loves everybody, but not everybody accepts that love from him. And we have to understand that God is rejected all the time. And if he's being rejected, and he still gives the extension of his love out through Jesus Christ, even to his enemies, should he not be an example to us? And we ourselves also extend love to our enemies. Do you follow what I'm saying? You were once an enemy of God. I was once an enemy of God. Before you were saved, you're God's enemy. Because you are against him if you're not for him. What did Jesus say? If you're not for me, against me, right? So just hear me out. God saved you while you were still in your sins. Jesus died. And he brought you to Jesus. Now, there's people out there that need to be loved. And I can't love them all because I don't see them all. You are my extension of this church. I preach to you. You listen. It grows in your heart through God. And you go out and you love others. Amen. You love others. And you bring them in where they can learn to love others. Some people have to be taught to love. Some people have never been loved their whole life, and they don't even know how to love. You got to be their example of love. But see, you can't do it on your own. You got to have God in you to love people that are unlovable. There's some people I had to pray. Oh, God, you got to help me love this person because I don't want to do it. And next thing I know, I'm being good to them. And you know what? It feels good to be good. It really does. It feels good to be good. It takes practice, though, because it's not the human nature. It's not the human nature. Humility. Humility. This is not about being embarrassed. Lean not on your own understanding. Humility. You can't be so full of pride that you're unteachable. You cannot be so full of pride that people cannot steer you in another direction when you're going the wrong way. You don't have all the answers. You might think, I got to steal to eat tonight, or I got to cheat somebody to get ahead. But let me tell you something. You reap what you sow, and what goes around comes around. We all say that, don't we? When it happens to us, when somebody does something that we did once before to others, we always say, you know what? What goes around comes around. Well, guess what? That applies to you too, and me. And I learned that principle. Because God chastises those whom he loves. But listen, humility, lean not on your own understanding. You don't have all the answers. People come up to me all the time. Oh, I just know the Bible left and right. I know every word in the Bible. The Pharisees knew the first book of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible, the Pharisees knew. But when Jesus showed up, they didn't know him. You could know something and not know someone. Humility. Don't become the kind of Christian that becomes unteachable. Don't become the kind of Christian that comes up to a leader who knows his word and argue with them. Amen? If you come to pastor or you come to an elder in the church and you're seeking their advice and they give it to you, don't scorn them for it. Don't dismiss it. Check it and see if it lines up with the Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit, is this person guiding me through Christ? People come up to me, oh, God told me. God told me to tell you this. That scares me when people tell me God told them something. If God leads you to something, that's different. But usually when people say, God told me to do it this way, or God told me that I should talk about it that way, I don't believe that. God leads. He leads. He leads. You'll feel an impression in your heart first, and you'll just know that that peace that surpasses all understanding will be your guide. Amen? Amen. Number four, and I'm almost done here. Work with Christ today. See? Salvation takes work, but not works. Hear me out. It's impossible to please God with your works. But it does say to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so what happens is that salvation produces good works. Once you are saved, you should be having the joy of the Lord in you saying, I want to do good works now. 2 Corinthians 6:1, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Amen. Listen to this. We are to cooperate with God as he works through us, as God's fellow workers. How many of you know that when you become a Christian, you're enlisted into employment for the kingdom? You are enlisted for employment in the kingdom. God will lead you to good works. Christians must surrender to effectively utilize God's grace. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We urge you. So you got to be convinced not to do this. There's people out there, they become Christians and they're saved, but they're not doing anything to advance the kingdom of God. They're sitting in the pews and they're listening, but they're not going out and witnessing. They're not going out and doing good works for the sake of the kingdom.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.